What is up, everybody, and welcome to the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our Week 14 waiver wire show. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Heath. You can follow Ryan at QBLRyan. And of course, please follow the website at the QBList. Week 14, as I said, the playoffs are starting this week for most people. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just kind of sitting here trying to conceptualize how we're going to deliver this waiver wire podcast based on the landscape of the waiver wire right now and sort of how we're going to really go about this with what we have to work with. But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm not bad yet. We got like five guys to talk about right now. And, you know, obviously, as most of you, if you're listening, you're probably in the playoffs. So I don't know how much waivers is going to affect you. Hopefully you don't need to like scramble to the waiver wire to start anybody. We're not going to do any like streaming ideas this week. But, you know, if you're on Twitter, you want to shoot us a question, we can always help with that too. But I think before we get into it, we can kind of talk a little bit about how maybe you want to approach waivers in your, now that you're in the playoffs. You want to talk about that a little bit maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, when we're looking at waivers in the playoffs, there's two potential reasons that you should be making waiver claims. Number one is to actually put someone in your lineup, which when we're doing this, we're really just thinking about them as a 1 week play. Yep. Most likely, like this isn't a season long thing. We're not stashing guys because we're at the point where they should have been stashed for. And then in my mind, the other reason to make a waiver claim at this time of year is to prevent your opponents from picking somebody up and playing them against you. So that like we can see that come into play if like these free square type of guys like do open up, that like it can be a good idea to just make the waiver claim, even if you're not planning to play them in your lineup, just to make sure no one can use them against you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I think specifically, we're not really stashing anymore. The only people I would like try and hold on to like is probably maybe a handcuff running back that you know has a chance at a full workload. We don't even really want to worry about these guys that might split the backfield anymore because, you know, it's a 3 week game. It's really a 1 week game now. You're not going to live to see another day. So there's no point in holding out of these long term guys anymore. So we want to really just kind of focus on 1 week at a time. How can it help us? So let's just transition right into it then, kind of going off of that with our first ad.
Yeah, so first we have a guy that probably will fall somewhere into that like free square type of category this week, which is Ty Johnson. Frank Gore left the game with a concussion, and afterwards Ty Johnson had 24 touches, put up 104 rushing yards and a touchdown. Johnson is a really athletic player. He was kind of underutilized in college. He has bounced around the league a little bit. He was originally drafted by Detroit. He pushed Kerryon Johnson that year for touches a bit. I'm kind of surprised to see ended up at the back of the roster on the Jets, but he's getting a chance now. He's got 4.45 speed. I mean, this could potentially be a pretty decent 1 week play. I mean, it's still the Jets, which we say every week, but that, I mean, he's maybe someone that you don't want your opponent picking up and playing against you if they're hurting for running back for some reason. So it's definitely something to keep in mind here. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think he could be a solid 1 week play, but you know, we have to also monitor Frank Gore's concussion. He could be back next week. So we don't really know. It's open right now, but I think, yeah, I mean, he was a solid speed score. I think he's a pretty athletic guy and he could definitely work in this offense. I mean, 100 yards, right, from scrimmage. That'll play for a 1 week start in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Especially depending on who are they playing next week? Do you know?
I do not even know. We should have looked at that before we started recording.
Oh, Seattle. They actually have a decent run defense, so maybe it won't be the best option. But like you said, if you're starving for a play or your opponent's starving for a play at the running back position, I would definitely try and scoop him up this week.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right, who do we have next?
All right, next we got Kiki QT again. He's 27% owned, so we're going back to it. You know, we kind of talked about it last week. We weren't exactly sure which wide receiver or which tight end might actually end up being the guy that is going to take all these targets that are missing from Will Fuller. It ended up being QT. He had 9 targets, 8 receptions, 141 yards. He was running around on 88% of Deshaun Watson's dropbacks. He's the clear number 2 in this offense. I mean, Chad Henson also had a pretty solid game as well. But I think QT definitely holds the priority of the 2. And also, you know, we want to monitor it. Again, Brandon Cooks had a concussion scare also. He came back in the game, but I think he's had something like 5 or 6 concussions in his career. So it's definitely something you want to see. Maybe like there's like some late, you know, stage symptoms show up maybe throughout the week or something like that. Definitely, you know, hopefully he's okay, but it's something to monitor.
Yeah, I mean, I really think QT is better off with Cooks in the lineup just so because I don't think we want Kiki QT facing number 1 corners. No. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you gotta like Brandon Cooks and his brain injuries are just really scary anytime it crops up. But yeah, I mean, he's getting the volume. It's an offense that has to throw the ball. There's not much to argue with. He's very solid flex play.
Yeah, I mean, and Deshaun's been playing absolutely unbelievable these past few weeks. It really hasn't been talked about, I feel like, enough because, you know, they're a losing team. They fired the coach. You know, everyone's kind of moved off of them. But he's been playing absolutely incredibly. So I definitely would want somebody attached to his arm right now. So, all right, let's go to number 3.
All right, so next we have Rashard Higgins, who actually is a player that holds a special place in my heart. He was, I believe in 2018, he was one of the first players I ever wrote about in a waiver wire article. Yeah. So this weekend he put up 6 receptions on 9 targets for 95 yards and a touchdown. He really seems to be the clear second option behind Jarvis Landry in the Browns passing game with Odell out for the year, of course. He's really always been a productive player when he's been called on, even going back to college. And I mean, he's hung around like the back of the Browns roster all these years, and there's probably a reason for that. Like, even when they've had all this churn at the wide receiver position, he's really been the constant over the last few years. And I mean, Higgins isn't gonna, he's not gonna go crazy. Like he's not gonna create anything on his own really, but he's gonna be usable in fantasy if the Browns are throwing, which the Browns don't really want to throw most of the time. But if it's happening, Higgins is someone you can look to if you think you can project game flow.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the kind of key here is that, you know, we got to figure out when are they going to be throwing. Like, I think, you know, a lot of us kind of saw that this past game was going to be a bit of a shootout. I mean, it ended up being pretty much a blowout. But I can see maybe against the Giants coming up in like 2 weeks, I think they play them, and the Jets, there's – possibility you might want to start him those 2 weeks. I don't know about next week against the Ravens. Could be a little bit iffy, but yeah, he's going to see some volume. And again, we're picking up guys to enter into your lineup in the best matchups possible, because this is kind of more of a DFS kind of play now in the playoffs each week. So I can see him being a spot start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the kind of guy that people are going to be looking at in cash games in DFS. And those are the guys that you either want in your lineup or you want on your bench so that no one else can play him against you in the fantasy playoffs.
Yep. All right. So for number 4, we have Philip Rivers. He's 40% owned. Not the most exciting, but he plays the Raiders and the Texans the next 2 weeks. So if you're looking for a streaming option, I think he's a pretty solid. Before this week, Rivers had thrown for either 300 yards or 3 touchdowns in 5 of 6 games. And, you know, that's exactly what you want if you're playing the quarterback. I mean, they still want to run the ball, but Rivers, the passing volume has been creeping up more and more lately. So I think it's pretty good. He, you know, spreads the ball around. So we've talked about, you know, Pittman and Pascal, and we've talked about all these receiving options. But, you know, that's good for Rivers because he has options to throw to. And I think, you know, these 2 weeks, you can't really look for much better matchups for the early playoff schedule.
Yeah, I mean, really just textbook high floor quarterback streamer for the playoffs. Like, not really, don't have a whole lot else to say about him.
Yeah. Other than,
I mean, yeah, if you need a streamer, then that's probably where I would recommend you to look if I'm trying to be responsible as opposed to the next guy we're going to talk about.
Unless you want to be really irresponsible. Look, if you are shooting for the moon, if you're outmatched this week, go ahead, Ryan, tell who you want to grab.
All right. So we're going to indulge a little bit at the end of the show. We're going to talk about Jalen Hurts. Everyone's talking about Jalen Hurts. We can't be left out of this.
Yeah. Well, how would we be a fantasy show if we didn't talk about right?
Yeah, really. So again, not trying to make like a super serious recommendation for streaming Jalen Hurts in the fantasy playoffs. We don't even know if he's going to start next week.
Right.
But I mean, really looking at the game tape from last night, he made a few really nice throws. He had a few more nice ones that went directly off the receiver's hands. A couple low, but nothing like too egregious. Even the interception wasn't that bad. He had the lineman in his face. He should have held the ball or thrown it away, but that's a mental mistake that you would expect a rookie thrown into a game at the end of the third quarter to make. When he starts to run and leaves the pocket, he really commits. And I mean, he was moving the ball for the Eagles, which they were not doing before he entered the game last night. So it's gonna, if we get to this year, I'll be very interested to see a full game and a game plan built around him. And I mean, I would hope he gets to audition for the job for the rest of the year, but we're really going to see if Doug Peterson is ready to throw in the towel this year. I have a feeling he's probably not, and he's probably going to start Wentz, but we can hope, man.
I mean, to me, it makes the most sense to start Hurts. I mean, for your long-term future, to either find out, one, if he's who you want to move forward with, or two, I mean, if you're going to try and trade him, or he's going to be a valuable asset for you, if you're going to keep Wentz, you got to put him out there and let other teams see what he is, you know, if you want to get anything back for him. So to me, I mean, the way Wentz has been playing too, you can't keep trotting that out. I mean, I don't know how much of an improvement Hurts is going to be, but I don't think you can keep going back to Wentz and like look at the rest of the team in the face. You know what I mean? But for Hurts, I mean, can he do a Taysom Hill impression? I mean, I think that's kind of what you would look at if you're going to pick him up and try and start him. You know, it's not going to look the prettiest, but he's going to get the rushing upside. You know, he can pass a little bit. You know, I wasn't his biggest fan coming out of college, but again, I think he could, is something in that mold. I don't want to like even try and sound offensive. I'm saying that like as a positive thing. Like if you're getting that out of, you know, your second round draft pick in the end of the season, you know, after the offense around him has also just been playing terribly. So if you can get something like that out of him right now, I think that would be great.
Yeah, I agree the Eagles have nothing to gain from starting Wentz going forward. I don't think they are actually competitive for the division. Right. And based on what we saw last night, they're more competitive with Hurts under center than they are with Wentz. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to trade them, if you want to see if they need to draft a QB next year, I agree completely. And man, I just hope that he gets a chance to shine these next 4 weeks. It unfortunately we can't play him in the tight end position like we could with Taysom Hill for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, if he can be Taysom Hill in a good way, then I mean, I'd be pretty happy with that for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly, and that would be a valuable player to have for the playoffs as well. So you know, don't go running out to add him, especially right now. We don't. I think Doug Peterson pretty much said he doesn't know who's going to start, or they haven't decided that yet. So don't want to do that and waste a claim or something, and then it comes out that Wentz is back out there. So wait and see if there's any news on that. And then, you know, if you're really starving for, you know, upside or something like that, it might end up working out.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple honorable mentions too. We just want to throw out there. JD McKissick is the first one. While we were recording this, Antonio Gibson injured his toe and it was deemed out for the rest of the game for this early Monday night game with the Steelers and the Washington football team. Obviously, that sucks. We're all huge fans of Antonio Gibson and what he's done. But, you know, toe injuries are tricky, especially for running backs. You know, turf toe can keep you out for like 3 weeks or something like that. JD McKissick, he's over our threshold of 40% ownership, but I think it's definitely worth a shout out that if he is available in your league, you got to pick him up right now.
Yeah, agreed. He's a legit play if Gibson is out. Like he has a great pass catching skill set. He will be heavily involved in the offense. And yeah, going up the list of guys we've talked about today, none of them are ideal starts like in the playoffs. But right. If Gibson is out, I would say McKissick is somebody I'm completely comfortable starting.
Yeah, if you're in a PPR league, like he would be a great flex. I mean, Alex Smith has shown that he really likes targeting running backs, especially McKissick. I mean, he's given him a couple like 10 target games or something like that. So he's definitely a solid option. Couldn't be on our list, but we definitely wanted to bring him up.
All right, so our final honorable mention is Devontae Booker and also Jalen Richard, but really Devontae Booker. It looks like Josh Jacobs is trending towards being out again next week, and it seems like Booker is going to continue getting the volume in that backfield. He didn't really smash this last weekend against the Jets, like a lot of people were hoping if you were playing him in DFS maybe. But if he's still out there, he's a guy you can pick up. He's going to get volume, maybe block an opponent from playing him. And yeah, it's tough to argue with the state of the running back position that Devontae Booker shouldn't be rostered at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he had like 16 of the 23 carries. So, you know, he's pretty much getting the bulk of the running workload. Jalen Richard, it was more of a split than we were anticipating when we talked about Booker last week. But, you know, no one expected the Jets to be as competitive and leading for most of that game. So I think Booker kind of got taken out of the game flow a little bit playing catch up. So I think, yeah, both of them are at least worth an add and, you know, a spot start if you need it. All right. Well, that was our week 14 waiver show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week for week 15 waivers. I am your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankCubulist, joined by Ryan. You can follow Ryan at QBL Ryan. And of course, please follow the website at the QBList. Thanks, everybody, for listening.